Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
And welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me, Seth. Well, this evening, Ashley. It's January 2017. Thank you, everybody, for checking out the show. I mean, not just recently, but over the years, but back in the day when it was the Ron Kelly Morning Show, way, way back in the day at William Patterson University up the hills. And, man, that was a rough time for radio. Anyway, we evolved, and now we're on Blog Talk Radio. So it's Ron Kelly Show, and it's blogtalkradio.com. All over social media and on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. On Twitter, it's I know I'm looking around. I'm trying to control everything. On Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. On Twitter, it's R. Kelly Radio. And on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly 1. And it just occurred to me, I said, you know what, I need to have one name for every social media platform that I'm on. There should be one name for Twitter, one name for Instagram, one name for Facebook, because people are going to start thinking that I got three different names. They're not going to know who I am. So I will change the names. Of course, it's going to be my name, but I'm going to change the names of my Kelly social media platforms. Like I said, on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. On Twitter, it's R. Kelly Radio, and on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly 1. All right, I got a lot to talk about tonight, and I think I'm going to skip the Trump nonsense, because I if you're anything like me, you know, I know I'm, like, Trumped out. I just can't take it anymore. It's one thing after another, and, you know, it got to the point, I know for me, where I'm not even surprised at the stuff he does anymore. It just doesn't surprise me. It's just, you know, from this asshole, shithole, well, we're on internet, so it doesn't matter. Comedy made about Africa, or not about Africa, but about third world countries. And, you know, and I gotta tell you, I made an attempt to do a live Facebook Live the other night. And, you know, what happens if somebody calls you on the telephone, and the video, you know, and that's what happened to me. Anyway, glad to have you guys here. Thanks so much for joining me tonight. I got a lot to talk about. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. First of all, I need to shout out Dr. Christopher Urban, who was the locally speaking, I should say, for my national audience. I'd like to congratulate Dr. Christopher Urban, who was the school board president of the city of Patterson, who has moved on, who has gotten an appointment from Mr. Phil Murphy. Who Governor Murphy, I should say, who appointed Christopher Irving to be the assistant commissioner for education, and it's definitely well deserved. Chris Irving, who I've met, who actually has been on the Ron Kelly Show. I mean, everybody's been on the Ron Kelly Show, and Chris Irving, who I have met, has ascended to the position of assistant commissioner for education for the state of New Jersey. I just want to congratulate Chris Irving. Well deserved. Brother has been very active, very vocal in regards to education. So congratulations to Dr. Christopher Irving, and he's a real doctor, by the way. Oops,
did I say that?
Dr. Christopher Irving, congratulations to you, and you know, as you move on to bigger and better things, you know, the city of Patterson and everyone who knows you is very proud of you. Thank you to Governor Murphy for recognizing local talent, and you know, no rich friend appointments like you know who. So anyway, so I was reading the story in somewhere, because you know I read a lot of news. I was reading a story about India. As a matter of fact, let me get it up here. India is celebrating and it just caught. I mean, I don't need to laugh. I was reading the story. It says India is has tested a nuclear capable missile that could reach most of China. Now, what enemies does India have besides maybe Pakistan? What the hell would they need a long range missile for? And you know, I'm like, it's kind of like North Korea, where there's no food, the economy is garbage, and they're developing nuclear weapons. And with India, I would say it's the same exact thing. But you kind of wonder, because like India, for example, millions of people in India have no bathrooms. Now, can you imagine in this day, 2017, in your house there's no bathroom? Say what you want about America, at least you got a bathroom in your house. And can you imagine having to go outside to the field or whatever? I'm not talking about back in the day when they had outhouses. I'm talking about now today, 2017. Can you imagine any time living in an apartment or a house with no bathroom and you have to go outside to go to the bathroom? Well, see, that was the problem in India, that there are millions of people in India who have no bathroom. There's no bathroom. So they have to, every day they have to go outside and go to the bathroom. It's a public health hazard right now in India, because people are going to the bathroom. Like, you know, you might see somebody go to the bathroom outside, oh, they were at the bar and they came out, or they were out. They just had to go. You might see that occasionally in America, but over there, it's standard practice. It's standard practice. People go outside to the bathroom. It's standard practice. And so I'm just looking at that. I'm like, wait a minute. You're developing a missile, but half of the population doesn't have a bathroom, and people are going to the bathroom outside. And what's going on is that, you know, the diarrhea kills people in India. People are dying there from diarrhea when you can just go to the store and get a bottle of Kaopectin. So God bless America. And I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right to me. People in India, they're developing nuclear weapons, and most of the people don't have a bathroom. 735 million people who live there don't have a bathroom. I just thought that was kind of ironic. Anyway, it's Ron Kelly Show. It's about 7:08 on the East Coast, and it's 4:08 on the West Coast. The Ron Kelly Show was heard also. So I want to thank people out there for listening to the Ron Kelly Show. The phone number is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. We don't usually get a number, but tonight, what the hell? Okay, so, and I gotta say, I've got like the worst, first let me spend this. With somebody else, another person of interest, the sexual harassment thing is Michael Douglas is the latest person. Somewhere, I wouldn't say good morning. You know, I would like, if I had to give him something, I would just ask my desk and drop it. Nowadays, you can't say anything to women. You know, you can't say anything to women. Speaking of women, I mean, when it comes to women, I have the worst luck you can imagine. And I was talking to some friends of mine, and I seemed like everybody's having a relationship problem these days. Everybody's relationship is on the brink. Everybody's relationship is headed in the door. You know, like everywhere I go, there's relationship issues everywhere. I probably should have booked the relationship person to come on to the Ron Kelly Show and talk to us about relationships. I have the worst luck when it comes to relationships. I'll get into that later on. So Lamont Gates, a religious scholar, the unflappable one, I like to call him. Look at them to call in so we could talk about church. And shout out to my people at Christ Church. East Campus in Montclair, West Campus in Rockaway, New Jersey, where yours truly is works for the media ministry. Volunteer, of course. They're not paying me. I'm a volunteer. Christ Church USA in Montclair and in Rockaway. Yeah, it's hot. You know, it's hot. I'm not building. It's like the project. We have like a project that open the windows when it's like 2 degrees outside and you still can't feel the air. That's how hot it is in here. But anyway, yeah, I was looking for Lamont Gates to call, and I did see him watching Lamont. So if you're out there, you know, give me a call. And we can talk about this religion thing. Because there was another, there was another preacher who, not a Catholic priest, but a preacher who was accused of molestation. He was, it was a well-known preacher who was accused. It wasn't the one person who just popped up on my screen. There was a preacher who was accused of molestation. A well-known preacher, televangelist preacher type. And he gave a sermon in the service, and the people gave him a standing ovation or whatever, I guess because he came forward. See, when people don't come forward until after they get caught. That's when people come forward, after they get caught. And, you know, there are lots of folks out here, not necessarily atheists, but, you know, people who just don't believe in church. People that just don't believe, you know, that there's a God. And I wouldn't say that they're atheists. They just don't believe in the concept of going to church and praising God, praising somebody you've never seen before. Some people just can't connect with that, you know. And it's not saying they're not, and I know it's hard to say a person is not who's not an atheist, but they don't believe in religion, which is kind of like an oxymoron. But there are people who question some of the things that goes on in church, you know, like a Joel Osteen, for example. And I'm always fascinated by it. I watch that show because I do watch a Joel Osteen, and I'm fascinated by the fact that he can fill a whole stage. Because the church, Joel Osteen, used to be the compact center where the Houston Rockets used to play years ago. You know, and there's probably more people there for his sermons than there were for the. There's probably more people there for his sermons more than the than people went to see the Houston Rockets. But I think we have Lamont Gates on the line. I hope things are working this time. Welcome to the show, Lamont.
How you doing, Ron? I can hear you loud and clear now.
Oh, boy. Wow. Thank God. Well, thank God. Well, I do believe. Thank God. Anyway, everybody, it's Lamont Gates, who is a talk radio host in his own right, who hosted the show here on Block Talk. We'll be back. How are you, Lamont? How's it going?
I'm doing good. Sorry for that delay. I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I was thinking like, oh boy, here we go. This damn Block Talk Radio. Anyway, so Lamont, let's you know, I don't want to misspeak about your position in regards to church. So I'll let you say what it is, what your position is.
In terms of institutional church.
Yes, in terms of institutional organized religion, I should say.
Okay, well, you know, I grew up like many American, you know, children going to church. My mother, you know, in the Black community, we all attended, you know, some sort of church that was of the. You know, Pentecostal faith, or if you want to call it the, you know, some sort of non-Catholic church or whatever the case may be. I believe ours was Baptist. And, you know, I went through the ropes just like everybody else, you know, looking at the pastoral staff as authority, listening to the elders, listening to your parents and what they had to say, because their information came from the elders and the pastors and the deacons and so on and so forth. But as time went on, and I don't mean to give you a bio or anything, I'm going to jump right into your question with a definitive answer. But as time went on, I got older, you know, cognitive development, you know, became stronger just with every, you know, normal individual as they get older. So I began to pick up a Bible. you know, I began to realize that there were many versions of the Bible, but nonetheless, I began to pick up one and start, you know, reading things. And what I would find in the Bible many times did not jive with what I was taught as a child and in general in many of these church institutions. And I found things that were downright contradicting, to say the least, you know. So I advanced my studies. Currently, I'm actually working on, I'm finishing up a biblical languages certificate, which goes into the original languages like the Hebrew and the Greek that the Bible was originally written in, and there's Aramaic in there as well. I studied Hebrew informally for years, so I'm just, you know, getting the formal training finished and knocked out with. But, you know, when you read these texts, you see a general theme in there, and that is, you know, love, you know, loving your neighbor, you know, compassion, mercy, gentle kindness, you know, kindness and, you know, loving and, you know, doing as, you know, the golden rule, doing to those what you would have done unto you. But when you go into the institution, there's a lot of what we call dogma. There's a lot of what we call human conjecture. There's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of finger pointing. There's a lot of additional things that are added on. There's a lot of misinterpretation, you know, because they either have their teachings passed down from, you know, an older group of people who never got the story right, or they just didn't have the proper translations or whatever the case may be. And so that kind of turned me away from institutional worship. And I know what I noticed the most about institutional worship is just that these people are in a psychological brainwash state to the point where if you try to bring some of these teachings to them, they wouldn't even consider it because they've locked it down. They have a paradigm going. They have a model where they say, this is the translation. This is its interpretation. This is what my pastor says it is. This is what it was passed down to be. This is what it always meant. Therefore, there's no room for any alternative. I'm not going to say facts. There's no room for any alternative interpretations. So that's my problem with institutional worship. You know, they talk about the peace, the kindness, the loving, and the, you know, the compassion and the mercy, but it gets, you know, it gets confused with all the judgment and the dogma that, you know, when you really read scripture, it isn't even calling for. So I decided that instead of being a religious Christian, I call myself instead a spiritual Christian, all right? We deal directly with God. We don't deal necessarily with the interpretations and the conjecture of men.
Okay, all right. That's, you know, and I find that to be, like, very fascinating, Lamont. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, and we'll talk about organization. So what you're basically saying is, like, you know, everybody, you know, people talk about the church being loving and caring, and when you get in there, there's axe-wielding murderers when you walk through the door, so to speak. What we'll do, everybody, we'll take a quick break. Yeah,
we'll take a quick break.
Yes, absolutely. I've met a few. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more Lamont Gates and yours truly, Ron Kelly. It's Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the RonKellyShow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or RKLV LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Hi, I'm Amanda Pete. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked them tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com. does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkittPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkittPromotions.com.
BurkittPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkittPromotions.com. BIRKETTPromotions.com.
BurkittPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. All right, househeads, it's Wi-Fi Wednesday. How do you say that? Wi-Fi Wednesday on D Wild Music Radio. It's DJ Tiny breaking you off some serious house music every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. at dwildmusicradio.com. That's dwildmusicradio.com. All right, get that out of the way. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And shout out. I got to go in my pocket for a second. Everybody's Lamont Gates, and I would admit, I'm glad that I hedged and waited and let you explain your position, Lamont, because I probably would have misspoke, because you do say you're a Christian. And I think that some people has anybody ever said to you, like, who thought you might have been an atheist or something like that with your opposition to organized religion?
Well, you see, that's exactly what I was talking about earlier with the paradigm or the motto that these people have been psychologically brainwashed with. If someone comes to them with a different interpretation of the same book, all right, I'm not saying that they're wrong. Then again, I'm not saying that they're right. What I'm saying is I have an alternative interpretation to what you have that makes just as much sense as your hermeneutic or even more sense than what you're perceiving in the text. They immediately write you off. Oh no, this is what it means, and that's it. You know, in the 1500s, there was a theologian by the name of John Calvin, right? He was bigly known as the leader of the Calvinist movement. This movement was mainly known as a movement that believed God chose who went to heaven or not. You couldn't, in other words, ask for forgiveness. You couldn't seek any mercy. There was no such thing as free will. God chose who he wanted to go to heaven or not. But nonetheless, and, surprisingly, got a lot of, adherence to it. And even till this day, there's a lot of people who believe in the non-free will movement. But the point I'm trying to make with John Calvin is that he was so rigid in his belief system and his theological philosophy that when another theologian tried to approach him and say, this idea, for example, of the Trinity, I don't believe in a three-person one. I believe in a one God. This theologian was burned literally at the stake, and it had John Calvin's approval of it. Geneva burned this man at the stake, and John Calvin approved of it simply because he tried to present an alternative interpretation to the concept of the Trinity. So we get a lot of that still today in institutional worship. They have their set rules. That's why we have so many denominations. They are divided by their interpretation of the scripture, you see? And if somebody tries to approach them with, an alternative interpretation to the scripture, a very wise and intelligent scholar in biblical studies will admit to you there's a lot of things in the Bible that's so vague that a person who claims that they have a single line interpretation and that only that single line interpretation is correct is just totally foolish. So that's one of the many problems I have with institutional worship. They're too rigid, and they're not interested in reanalyzing some of these texts. I mean, that's why we had so much violence, whether physical or verbally, against gays. We have so much violence, whether physically or verbally, against women who want abortions or have abortions, and all down the list, you name it.
Yeah, and I find that to be, I looked that up while you were, I was listening to you and looked up the album. And it seems like he was kind of like Koresh of that era, so to speak. Because, and I shout out to my people at Christ Church. I don't necessarily have a problem with organized religion or institutional religion, but I do believe that the Bible, someone could have inserted their own, I had a problem thinking that the Bible, the whole entire Bible from cover to cover, word to word, was all the word of God. I mean, that's because it seems like anything else, it some of the things that, might have got lost in tradition as far as, or somebody might have inserted their own little, what their perception was, or what their interpretation was of what was being said, Lamont.
Right, right. Well, and you know what? I have no problem with you saying that. If this was 1560, you probably really would have been burned at the stake with that other theologian.
I would have.
But
you know what?
If here's the thing, if anybody wants to believe that the Bible is the absolute word of God, that's their faith. Whatever. If someone wants to believe that it's not the word of God, that's their belief system. The whole point that I'm trying to make with the nature of God is that I do not believe he is judging people based on a belief system. There are 7 billion people in the world, and that number is going to rise. Do you actually think that everybody on planet Earth has the exact same, theological philosophies and perceptions of the nature of God and the afterlife and et cetera? Absolutely not. But if God is all loving and benevolent and merciful, as the institutional church claims he is, how could he be so upset with people for just simply having a belief system? Wouldn't it be more according to fair judgment for him to judge a person based on character? And that's my belief system, by the way.
Yeah, I need a religious person to call into the radio show. That's what I need. I need somebody who, besides myself.
Well, you should have, Ron, you should have thought about this when you knew you had me on.
Yeah. But I felt like I could challenge, because I do attend church, and I do, I'm not one of the axe wielding murderers that waits for unsuspecting victims who may or may not be in the church, but I do go to church. I'm a member of Christ Church, and I say I'm on the media ministry. I'm one of the cameramen at my church.
I saw that. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm trying to do my thing. Before I go any further, I did speak to him recently. I'm shout out to WRCSAM 970 radio. Dr. J.C. Watford, who was the owner and the manager of WRCSAM 970, where I did my radio show a couple weeks ago. I appreciate him for allowing me to do my radio show out of the station in Hosky, North Carolina, a month ago. And he was very gracious to allow me to do my show because I was down south, and it was on a Thursday when I usually do my show. I'm like, man, I can't do my show today. So we just had to drop by the radio station. We just drove past. And I turned around. I went inside, and I told him who I was. He welcomed me in. We talked. I told him, I normally do my radio show on Thursday, and blah, 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 blah. And he said, hey, man, your show here. I'm like, oh, great, wonderful. So I was able to do my show down here. So shout out to Dr. J.C. Watford, who runs WRCSAN. And, not WRCS 970 AM. Okay, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show. It's on blogradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. On Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. On Twitter, it's R. Kelly Radio. And on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly 1. And I need to change everything to one name a lot because I got three different names, and I'm like three different people. And the social media names should all be the same. I do believe, correct me if I'm mistaken, the social media names do need to all be the same. Anybody who wants to, you can hit me up on Facebook, or anybody who goes to church out there who wants to call into the radio program, it's 646-668-338. That's 646-668-338. If you want to step into the, ring, you can definitely do that. 646. Step into the ring. Yeah, step into the ring. You know, 646-668-2838. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. About halfway through this thing, you know, I was reading some stories today. Yeah, I really don't want to get into the Trump stuff because I'm just so over Trump and just so just Trumped up. But I wanted to, you know, while I have you here, I wanted to ask you what your opinion was. Because I do value your opinion, Lamont. This Lamont Gates, everybody, the unflappable one, I like to call him, stands by his convictions, will not be moved. Trust me, I have experience with that. He will not be moved. He stands by his convictions. That's actually refreshing because some people do waffle a lot of things. And I just wanted, you know, there was a girl. What school did you go to, Lamont? You're a college graduate. What school did you graduate?
Well, my undergrad was at William Patterson University here in New Jersey, where we are, and then my graduate degree was at Walden University, which is situated in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But you know, since I'm so busy, I did it online, distance learning, and psychology.
Okay.
That is.
Okay, but you attended, actually physically attended William Patterson University, and you have your bachelor's degree.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Because, you know, there was some talk about somebody not having a real doctor. Anyway, you know, it's none of my business. You know, I know I'm kind of dragging you into this tomorrow. I apologize. But I wanted to know what your take was on the, because I'm going to tell you what I think. Your take was on the young college student from New Jersey. As a matter of fact, young girl from Marlton, New Jersey. But young girl from Marlton, New Jersey, who did the rant on, I believe it was YouTube or some social media platform. She did a rant. Let me first ask you, did you hear about that? Did you read about that?
You know, there's rants going on every day. I don't think I'm familiar with one from New Jersey, though.
Yeah, it was one girl from the University of Alabama, and she was kicked out of school, and she was kicked out of the sorority for making a racist rant about black folks. Kicking her out of school, do you think that was violation of her First Amendment rights, or they were right to kick her out?
Well, you know, it's like with anybody who's getting fired these days for saying anything, you know, on air at a major radio or television station. Yes, we do have First Amendment rights. However, the people that you work for or are affiliated with or associated with also have the right to let you go. And usually that stuff is clearly defined in a contract somewhere. Maybe she should look up the contract and say, you know, that shows and says the what was this, a sorority you said? The sorority, you know, can cut you off for whatever reason, you know, XYZ. So, yeah, you have a right to say things, but they also have a right to let you go, you know, especially if you are painting their sorority in a very harsh light, you know, a very racist light. You know, you played, for example, a clip before you went to a commercial break saying, you know, the views expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the host and his views or the show and, you know, and the show's views. The same thing could be said about a sorority. Obviously, if someone is, you know, going off on a racist rant and the sorority and the university, you know, has no toleration for that, you know, no tolerance for that, then quite naturally they're going to let her go.
Yeah, and I do
and
carry
I'm sure there's equal opportunity and anti-bullying and, you know, anti-intimidation rights all over the college, as there is in just about every single college institution in this country. So, I mean, a lot of people just don't think before they actually go online and post this stuff. I think that's the problem right there.
Yeah, I actually don't think. Well, I have $1 million liability policy that covers me if I say, which I'm very, very careful. I use that word allegedly. I've learned to use allegedly proficiently now, you know. But I do have an insurance policy. If somebody tries to sue me for something I said, you know, I'll be covered. But, you know, but I don't, you know, I don't react. Me personally, Lamont, I don't react. This is Lamont Gates, everybody. What was the name of your show, Lamont? What was the name of that
show? Oh,
you're
going back into the Stone Age. It was called Real Social Talk Radio, which has been on hiatus for some time now.
Yeah, quite a few clicks to the calendar, I would say. Real Social Talk with Lamont Gates. Some of you some of you probably remember Lamont and his fiery rhetoric. I'm sure some of you remember Lamont from back in the day. Lamont show, you know, was like, you know, you had to buckle up. My show was
buckled down.
My show was tame compared to Lamont Gates' Real Social Talk. But, I react to racist rants and stuff like that anymore because my position is in Lamont that these things are going to be going on. This is going to happen forever. There's not going to be any, you know, let up. You know, people who have something to lose, for the most part, will keep their mouths shut. And everybody will say whatever it is they want to say. And I don't believe that there's going to be – I mean, I just don't react to those things anymore.
Right.
A blatant racist remark or some other, you know, I mean, of course I react if there's police brutality or some kind of physical abuse that a black person suffers at the hands of someone who is antithetical to blacks, but I just don't react. I just kind of like the little boy, I don't know if you saw Lamont, the little boy in the H&M commercial that had on the sweatshirt and on the front of it said it was the coolest monkey in the jungle, little black kid, and then white kid had something about being a scientist.
I did see that. A commercial of some sort, wasn't it?
Yeah, and everybody was, oh, and the mother, ironically enough, when they finally got into the mother and the father, they were like, so what? You know, like everybody should mind their business, in other words.
Right.
Mother said. So I just don't react. It's not that I don't care, but I just don't react to racial animus, you know, where something's being said by someone. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, as I said before, 7 billion people on planet Earth, not everybody's going to be on the same page with, you know, their own philosophies and the way they see the world and their worldviews and so on and so forth. And unfortunately, you're going to have people who have an issue with race. You're going to have people who have issue with ageism. You're going to have people who has issues with sexism. You know, we're just a multicultural blend of things. Unfortunately, a lot of these people could be educated better, but they're not on these particular topics and subjects. But I think you're right. You know, if you're going to stand there and try to feed into this, if somebody made racist rants every single day, 365 days of the year, you'd have to answer to every single one of those all year round. And you have to ask yourself, is it even worth it? Am I really going to change their mind? The best way you can change their mind is to just to be good to them, be kind to them, you know. If you see them on the street, well, a lot of times when you hear a racist rant, it's usually done by somebody online who wouldn't do it if they saw you in person. But give them a reason to know that you're just as human as them. You know, you're just as kind as them. You got no problem helping them out. You would hope that they would do the same to you. And, you know, initially they would have no reason to be racist or to make, you know, stereotypic sweeping claims about an entire race when they have met this person who has, you know, showed them nothing but kindness. So, yeah, I'm like you, actually. I don't react to a lot of the posts. And, I mean, because you can read – an article and then go down and start reading all the comments. Oh, they would infuriate you. But just imagine if you've got, 11,000 comments and 9,000 of them you don't like. Imagine trying to answer all those people. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It's not worth it.
Definitely not. All right, we'll take another quick break. I don't know, can you hang for another break, Lamont? We'll bring you back.
I definitely can, yes.
Right, all right. Thank you so much, Lamont. I've heard it from my conversation. But I do respect your fellow radio personality. It's still in there. I'm sure you'll come back. Come back, Lamont. I'm sure you'll come back at some point.
I've been thinking about it.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe we can join forces. But, okay, we'll take a quick break, 30 seconds. And we'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
All right. I'm going to dispense with the drops and everything and just welcome back, everybody. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the ronkellyshow.com, and it's Wednesdays on Wednesday on D-Wild Music Radio. It's DJ Tiny breaking you off some serious house music for all you heads out there that are over 40 house heads, because they don't make house music anymore. But house heads, it's Wet by Wednesday on D-Wild Music Radio. DJ Tiny breaking you off some serious house music every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. at D-Wild Radio, DWildMusicRadio.com. That's dwildmusicradio.com. That's my name. I'll post it on my Facebook page, how you can get in touch with DJ Tiny if you want to hire him, as I'm sure you will once you hear his jams. I'll post it on my Facebook page. I don't have it in front of me, but I will post it on my Facebook page, DJ Tiny, Wednesday night, 8 to 10 on dwildmusicradio.com. Okay, it's the Ron Kelly Show for now, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. .com, RonKellyShow.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Hit me up. The Ron Kelly Show. Okay, so, I'm just flabbergasted at all the stuff that's going on in the world. I'm not gonna drag that into this, Lamont, but I did hear, getting back to the religious thing, I did hear about. And that's another thing I don't react to. You hear about pastors and everybody like Bishop Eddie Long, before he passed on. Some of the other Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker and some of the other pastors that have been caught with their hands in the cookie jar, so to speak. That's another thing. I don't react to that either, Lamont, because these are all human beings. I react to the Catholic Church because I think that's reprehensible what they're doing with those children. Just doesn't make any sense at all. But I don't react necessarily I do react to that because it's reprehensible. I'm vehemently opposed to that kind of nonsense with these kids. But I don't react to the male pastors who get caught in the congregational cookie jar, so to speak. I don't react to that because these are human beings, Lamont.
Well, equally, arguably, the Catholic priests who do what they do are also human beings. But you know what they really need? They don't come forward with it, because there's been a lot of discussion about the Catholic Church actually protecting a lot of these priests. What they really need is help. They need counseling, you know. But they are afraid, I guess, to step outside of their non-secular zone into a secular one, where there are people readily available to help them with, you know, any issues that they may be having, to which they're putting a child or an adolescent in danger. You know, they need help. I think they're just as human as the people putting their hands in the cookie jar. And, you know, they should be held accountable. And on top of the accountability, they should get help. They need help. As far as, you know, the cookie jar, I mean, that's up to the congregation. You know, the Bible teaches people to be discerning, right? And a lot of Christians claim that they have discernment, but they're the first ones, you know, giving their entire paycheck to the pastor when their light bill is due and, you know, they haven't put any money down on it. So a lot of that has to go back to the people sitting in these congregations. Yeah, the pastor can be a wolf in sheep's clothing, but you need the discernment to know that.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, and you watch, I think there are people who just give religion a bad name, Vermont, like the Peter Popoffs. Oh, I'm back? Okay. There's always something going wrong. Now my video was blanking out. My video was blanking out on Facebook for some reason.
We used to say about Peter, we used to say he popped off all right.
Peter Popoff with the special spring water, and you know, and you splash the spring water on yourself, and you're gonna get a miracle, and you know, and it's funny how, you know, because you watch these infomercials late at night, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, it's Peter Popoff with a load of black folks. You know, because you never see any white people, and I don't make it a black or white thing. Everybody knows me. But you see a whole bunch of black people that are saying that they receive $50,000, they receive $60,000, they receive $100,000. And, of course, they're plants. You know, we know they're plants. But I think that they're just the people who just give, they just give religion a bad name, Lamont.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And what you're moving into now is the charismatic movement. And you don't really need a late night infomercial pastor at night doing that. There's enough of those in regular churches, you know, mainly in the Pentecostal churches, you know, people who say or claim that they have the ability to lay hands on the sick and cure people of HIV. And, you know, I interviewed a couple of them. And one of my main questions to them was, well, you know, you say you did all these things, but where were you when national catastrophes were happening? You said you were jumping on planes, going to Brazil and here and there and curing cancer, but where were you during 9/11, for example? Where were you during Hurricane Katrina? I said you were nowhere to be found, you know. And later on, you know, he misconstrued the whole context of what we were talking about and said, well, we were there, we were passing out blankets, but that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about you raising these people from their devastation by laying hands on them, you know. So they'll play that game with you when you interview them. You know, they'll tell you, oh, no, it's not me, it's God doing it. And, you know, God can turn it on and turn it off whenever he wants. Yeah, he turns it off whenever I'm standing in front of you and turns it on, you know, when a skeptic is not there standing in front of you. So that's another branch of institutionalism that I have a problem with, the charismatic movement, because I think they do prey on, you know, naive adherents who actually believe there is God behind the sham healings that they're doing.
I just have to laugh about sham, the sham healing. Yeah, because they bring people in. They break. There's something wrong with my video tonight for some reason. I'm not sure exactly what.
Maybe God doesn't like me talking about this stuff.
God is messing with my video because he doesn't want Lamont kicking his back in. Okay, there it is. Shout out to my people. Shout out to my sister. Sisters watching. And shout out to my brother, Quentin, who was not well at the moment. Shout out to everybody who prayed for my brother, who hasn't been well in the last couple of years. So, shout out to my brother. Somebody on Facebook says I look like my brother, which I do kind of look like my brother, just better. No, I'm just not. Shout out to everybody. Everybody who's watching and listening to Ron Kelly Show, my guest is Lamont Gates, the unflappable one, the host of Real Social Talk Radio. Right, that's it. Real Social Talk Radio. Who's a fire brand, and I don't know if the fire went out, I guess, because he's not doing it anymore. But we have to find a way to stoke those radio things, get Lamont back on the air.
Hours to a day, then maybe I can get back on.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. Yeah, I get it. Because I barely have enough time to do this show, the Ron Kelly Show on Thursday. I barely have enough time to do this show. But with the last few minutes, we got about 8 minutes left of the program. Lamont Gates, everybody, of course, the Real Social Talk Radio. I go to church and, you know, I love going to church and I love, you know, like the there's some good people. There are some, like my church is non-denominational. My church is non-denominational. It's Christ Church, Trinity
right.
Place in Montana, and then it's on, and then they have a campus. They have a really big church on Green Pond Road in Rockaway. And it's a non-denominational church, Lamont. They only pass the basket around once. And
Well, tithing is a whole other misconception in the Bible, but that's a whole other – that's going to be like a whole other show of yours, but
– Yeah, absolutely. They only pass the basket around one time. That's it. So if you tithe in, or if you just want to throw something in there, they only pass the basket around one time, and that's it. When the church decides, you can even pass it around about 5 or 6 times. But they only pass it around one time. And, you know, it's a non-denominational church, and they teach. They don't necessarily preach, but they teach. And, you know, when I come out of there, I take some good stuff out of the service. You know what I mean? So I think there is some, I guess you just have to find what fits you, Lamont. But can I say that?
Let me say this. I love my institutional Christian brothers and sisters. I love my Muslim institutional brothers and sisters. I love my Hindu institutional brothers and sisters. I don't have a thing against the people. I have a thing against the structure, the setup, the way it's designed. By the people who are running these things, a lot of times they add too much dogma in there, too much confusion, too much ritual, and they're missing the key point, which is we all belong to the same God. We all belong to each other. We all should be, you know, kind, compassionate, merciful to each other. We don't hear a lot of that. We don't hear enough of that, actually. What we hear a lot of times is, you know, if you're doing this, you're going to be judged. If you're doing that, you're going to be judged. And then in the same token, they say, God loves all of you. How? How is that possible? You know, they're judging you sometimes for things that God didn't say a word to. Unless God comes down and says, yes, he's wrong for doing that. You have no business pointing your finger. You have no business pointing your finger at anyone else. But, you know, if you can leave your church taken out with something to take away that's positive, that's great. I got no problem with that. That's great.
Yeah, because you're right that, you know, the people who say, are you going to hell? You're going to burn in hell and all this type of people tell you you're going to burn in hell and these type of things. And, you know, I have a unique belief about church and hell and all this other stuff. I believe what's in front of me. You know what I'm saying? I do believe in God. I do believe there's a God. You know, I do believe that he... I do believe that God has his hand on, because I've seen evidence of it. You know what I mean? I've seen evidence of it. And just like God talks about, you know, like some of the word of God talks about family, and it says you can't There's a scripture in the Bible that says, you know, how can you love, God says, how can you love me when you don't love who you can't see?
Yes, I know the verse you're talking about, yes.
Very, very powerful. Very powerful. So I don't judge the originality of the Bible or mine. At least I try not to judge the originality of the Bible, like where it came from, et cetera, et cetera. I don't necessarily do that, but I do know that it works for me, you know, because I would hate to be, you know, on this earth without any hope. You know,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I think we have millions of people all around the world who would feel hopeless without God. You know, they would feel hopeless. And I know I would be one of them. So because you need, you know, especially when there's nobody around and, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world now, Lamont. Nobody wants to help nobody. And, you know, I know I would be crippled if I couldn't pray and ask God for forgiveness or, you know, or for something.
Yes. And I believe that's the spirituality I'm talking about. Talking to God, you know, how can I improve myself, you know, with my fellow man? That's the spiritual Christianity I'm talking about. You know, when we get caught up in religious Christianity, you know, you can have the, you know, conversations with God and the peace and the love, but there's other counter teachings in there that tells you somehow to judge someone too, with the religious aspect of it. But if you're very, you know, science, by the way, should I say, has come very far, especially in what we call near-death experience studies. And real quick, these are studies where people have died literally for various numbers of minutes or maybe even hours. And they've come back and talked about what they've seen. Many of them saw relatives and friends. Many of them saw this, you know, this bright, you know, ultra-illuminated light being that had a personality and spoke to them that they perceived as God. And there's many books written about this. It was spearheaded originally by Dr. Raymond Moody in 1975 when he wrote the book Life After Life. So, in other words, what I'm trying to say is, you don't just have to have hope today. Now we've got, you know, case studies of people who've been to the other side, so to speak. And those books and a lot of those accounts are readily available on the internet, and they're something I highly advise for people of all types of faiths to look into.
Yeah, because I think, Delmonte, we got about a minute and 20 seconds left or so. But I think that, you know, having a system is it helps, you know, because I do think this world would be, you know, in chaos. It's about a minute left. I think the world would be in chaos, Lamont, if we didn't have something to hold on to, something to hope for, someone to pray to, the belief that we can be helped by a supreme being. I do think that the world would be in deep doo-doo if we didn't have something to believe in. So, I appreciate you, Lamont. Lamont Gage, everybody, the unflappable one, I like to call him, former host of Real Social Talk Radio. I'm gonna try to push Lamont back into coming back on the radio because you're sorely missed, my brother. You have a message.
Thank you.
Voice
I'm
and you're missed.
Tonight.
Yeah, I respect you. You know, I highly respect you, and you know, I don't work with people I don't respect. So shout out to Osman Chabaz, who was watching the show. Everybody else is watching the program. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you. I know you just got home from work and you took partake with me, so I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, take care and be safe. See you later.
Chicken is back in. Okay, there it is.
Yeah, how's it going?
What time do you guys close?
Oh, not old. It's just that way. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, there it is. Shout out to my people. Shout out to my sister. I mean, my sister is watching. And my shout out to my brother, Quinn, who's not well.
Thank you.
such as Planning Center. Huh? Planning Center. Let me see. Planning. Oh. Love Your Church Management. Okay. Oh. Oh. Yeah, because how do you well, I don't know, you might be busy, but okay, this, how do you log into, oh, you have to set up a okay. Okay, for 9 and 11. 9 and 11. Okay, so so what am I doing tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, because I think I got that gist, though. I think I know what Brian wants. I think I know what you want. You yelled at me enough, so I think I get it now. Yeah. Right. Yeah, okay, no problem. No problem. I'm here to serve. No problem, no. Who doesn't want to serve God, you know? Yeah, I know I can't pay him back, but I can try. Yeah, no, I can't pay him back. But, you know, there's nothing more important than him. What time do you need to be there? That's what I'm going to ask you. Yeah, 6 is fine. I'll be off work in plenty of time to, I'll be off work in plenty of time to deal with this. Okay. Okay, great. Matthew, a text message is calling. You must be pretty busy. But you got that little boy, so I know you got him running around like crazy.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you. any chance I'd be considered for this part? You know, I told him that, so he said so. And she told him, you're not happy to appreciate it. But I'm not holding it. I'm not a wallet, but I'm going to stay over for 3 days. I'm ready for this challenge. My arms are pretty bad. I'm getting better. Based on Fire Squad contact this week, I think your guys are going to like what they hear.
No, you know, I think things shipping. Don't do contracts, but you're ready for the job. Maybe next.
Well, that's all I'm asking. Reconsider. Since you let us see, I would bring it. I would bring it.
What's going on?
Frankly, to Judge Walters, I've been doing all my searching features, but I thought maybe some hash browns would pop in him off. He doesn't have a hard time.